We're still studying imaginations, which your imaginations or your thoughts are the evidence of whether or not you've exchanged gods. So fundamentally, we're still studying exchanging gods. But this is the tell in you that defines whether or not you've exchanged gods or not. And it's a real test. Anybody have any thoughts about that?
It's so massive, where the one God we would serve in the flesh, I guess way to say it, could be one or many.
And well, it's usually the evil one.
Yeah, when himself, we serve self. But then when we exchange, it's in another realm, kingdom, that has nothing to do with the one we were in. And right. So,
in fact, it not just nothing to do, it's to be abandoned.
Yeah, and it's so total that it's not like, oh, I'm done with this one, I think I'll try that one. And that's not even the...
All right, let's go to Romans 1. We'll start Romans. Verse 16, start at verse 16. You're doing it, Gary.
Well, you had said something in the past about a constant, this isn't the right word, recognition of error is a word.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of what discipleship is about.
Yeah, never thinking you're right.
Right, and never leaving the abandonment of self.
Yeah.
All right, start in verse 16 of Romans 2. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Romans 1.
I mean, yeah, Numbers 1, I'm sorry. I mean, Romans 1. I confuse myself. Did you ever notice that? Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's just two. You could say to the Christians first and then to the Gentiles, or you could say, but it means there's two kingdoms. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, and it's revealed only from faith to faith. Now we want it to be revealed so we don't have to do anything. We just sort of hang out.
Yeah, that gives new meaning to that sentence.
Yeah.
Made sense to me before, faith to faith. It was like the exercise of faith.
Right. For the righteousness of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now that's not an easy thing, because it's constantly combating your false God. But he's not going to violate your will. You have to recognize it. Is that clear? God never violates your will.
Your will being you as a believer? Because if you are dead.
It's your will as anybody. Whether if you say you're a believer, doesn't mean you're necessarily a believer. You're a believer when you live from faith to faith. So that's what this is all about. Again, for the wrath of, in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. How do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? That's the question.
You see the world through two eyes instead of one. So they hold the truth in their...
You hold back the truth is what it actually says.
Yeah. My Bible says it, but I'm a little note on here. Hold back the truth.
You hold back the truth.
Damn it up.
Right, you create a dam. And the only dam that you can create internally is your mind. So you hold the truth in unrighteousness.
It's like a Pharisee, it sounds like, who knows the truth but puts burdens on other people too.
Well, this is right now, it's not about other people, it's about what the righteousness of God is. So let's look at that again. In verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by his faith. And you could easily say by his faith alone. Because you have no faith.
Yeah. That's a reference to Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith.
Right.
It's kind of, they left it out here for some reason.
So they're just talking exclusively about the gospel of Christ, the power of God, and nothing else.
And verse 19, because that which may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Well, he doesn't seem to show it up. But this mystery of God is revealed in nature. It's revealed in the stars. It's revealed in trees. It's revealed in wheat and seeds. It's revealed in everything. Except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, you abide alone. It abides alone. But when it dies, it bears much fruit. And that's why all of 1 Corinthians 15, which we read the other day, is about that. So, we haven't gotten to where I wanted to study yet, so I guess we better continue. In verse 20, well, it says what I just said. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Now, I would have said this is crazy. There's nothing revealed about God in the universe. It's evolution or some other thing. But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and foolish hearts. Their foolish heart was darkened. That's talking about believers. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. In imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Everybody understand a little bit?
Who's he talking about here?
Believers.
But he's talking about particular believers, it sounds like. Like the
right, because Hebrews, they went back to the world.
The Hebrews is what he's relating this to. Is that
the what?
Romans.
Is he talking about
he's talking, I mean, it's the whole subject.
Yeah.
It's all, this here is talking to people that have known God.
Okay.
And changed, well, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, or birds, or four-footed beasts, or creeping things. But mainly it's made into on the glory of God is made into an image like corruptible man. Like somehow they, by some machinations, became something. But it was still fundamentally, they're still worshiping man, a corruptible man instead of God. Amen? All right. Let's go to Acts 17. Ah, I turned right to it. Verse 28, chapter 17. Anybody there? For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stones or graven images by art and man's devices. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And repentance, as we've talked about 1,000 times, isn't a singular act. It's you essentially live by repentance. And that's because you're constantly abandoning self. And every time you see self raise its head for any reason. And how do you know it's self? Why couldn't it be God? It's a simple way to know it's itself. If it has anything to do with you or getting something, then it's self. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. And this was part of Paul's speech on Mars Hill in Athens. And well, let's just read to the end of the chapter. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked him. Another said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from them, albeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus, however you pronounce it, Areopagite, yeah, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So Paul's, you know what, we've talked about what Mars Hill is, right? Anybody remember?
I've got
Okay, on the in Athens, there's this huge butte, right in the center of the city almost. And the Parthenon, the building devoted to the Virgin, to Virgo, is this humongous building, one of the most beautiful structures in the world. It's even beautiful today. And you can't believe how anybody could have made it. But on the way up to the Virgin, there's this sort of resting place. It's an outcrop, a level outcrop, quite large, bigger than this room. I mean, including the kitchen area. And it's sort of a natural amphitheater, and so. I went there, and it was just blew my mind. I just loved it, because I could even hear and see Paul preaching there. But it became the spot where the Greeks it was a place where, and if you had something to say, that's where you went up there and said it. But it's mind-bendingly beautiful. All right, now let's go to Matthew 15. Verse 16. And Jesus said, I'll just read this part. We can read the other on your own. And Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the draught," or the toilet, "but these things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart," or the inner man, this being, "for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemes. These are they which defile the man, but to eat with an unwashed hand defileth not a man." So this is when he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, who chided him because he didn't make the disciples wash their hands before they ate. So it's from within proceed all that's evil, from the mind. That's all it can do. All right, let's go to, let's just see the same thing almost in Mark 7. Let's start verse 14. "And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, these are they that defile a man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not yet perceive that whatever thing from without entering into a man, it cannot defile him? because it not enter, it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile. We don't have to admit that.
Pardon?
I said we don't like to admit that.
It occurs to me that this is all about idolatry. And that's a big part of what Passover addresses.
Well, I mean, it's about the fall. And you can't escape it. But you convince yourself that we're thinking good thoughts. That's why we just read, the just shall live from faith to faith. And we're not just. Only he is. We abandon ourselves. All right. Let's look at Romans 14. Just one verse. We can study more verses if you want to. Well, that's about, never, no, that's not really about it, what we're talking about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. And starting verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So, how do you defile the temple? Anybody? That couple with what we just read, the only way you defile a temple is when you use that which is cursed.
Of which we do. Of which we do.
And that's why it is repentance.
And so God destroys the temple. And says, if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy.
Right. That's why. That's the end result. That's why we must come to the place where we live by faith and faith alone. By the total and complete abandonment of self. That's why we go from faith to faith. Something that wasn't faith, and we repent, and now it goes from faith to faith, and it continues on your whole being of sanctification. You never arrive. If you ever think you arrive, you haven't. You go from the darling infant to the teenager, the adolescent, to the young adult, to the father. That's the way that all believers go. And you only go, you don't go anywhere. It's by all repentance. But it's the what all of the Old Testament was about. It was about that thing of going. So God going is repenting. Amen?
Amen.
That's enough for today. Anybody have any response?
Just one last thing here. It's like in each case where you might, where it says we from faith to faith, in our understanding it's
his faith to his faith. Anytime we put our faith in there, then we think we're able to have faith.
But in fact, well, but that's the point. We do are. We are able through repentance to have faith. Every time we don't do something by faith, and we know it, we recognize it, then we say, Father, forgive me. That's why repentance becomes a joy. Because all repentance is a reminder that you're dead. If you're using that which is alive still, then there's only one way. It's got to die. Until you finally see yourself as dead. Every once in a while, an evil one raises his head, but now it's easy to cut off his head. And you cut off his head, for the time being, by repentance. That's the hydra, when they cut off all the heads until they finally cut off the one that was golden. Then the hydra was gone. That's all a parable of our mind.
Such a clear parable, too, isn't it? All those snakes, and each time we repent, we cut off one of them.
But each one of the six of the seven snakes can reproduce them. They come right back. That's the same as our seven mountains of our mind. But the one, if you get to the one, that's golden, but it doesn't look like it's golden or feel like it's golden, and you cut that one off, then all the others die too. But the act of cutting off the head of the snakes and all of these seven mountains of our mind where the whore sitteth, you cut off the head by repentance. And you finally see that the last one to die, the golden one, is the right to yourself in any dimension. When that's cut, then repentance is just like breathing.
Yeah, it seems like there's a gift from repentance. It would be, I know it's about total death and abandonment, so I'm more of that, but it seems like repentance, the gift of it is you definitely stop analyzing, or you cut it back dramatically, you stop justifying, or you cut it back dramatically, or you stop blaming, or you cut it back dramatically.
Yeah, you want to get rid of it.
Well,
so that's why
I'm aware of the being perfected by one offering. I don't think I've got
it. Well, I'm not asking you. I'm just saying that. But anyway, we'll continue on this exchanging gods, because you may think you've exchanged gods, but you haven't. I mean, that's all of us. The only way you know that you've exchanged God is you live alone, only from faith to faith. And that's frightening. All right? Take the big guy.